This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, October 1st. I'm Gavin Dahl. The U.S. Senate confirmed Tracy Stone Manning to run the Bureau of Land Management. BLM manages over 8 million acres of public lands in Colorado, or 12% of the state. President Joe Biden will nominate Cole Finnegan as the new U.S. Attorney for Colorado. He's managing partner of a law firm in Denver and previously chief of staff to then-Mayor John Hickenlooper and legal counsel to then-Governor Roy Romer. The Senate must confirm him. The owner of a medical clinic in Loveland must pay $40,000 after he failed to stop marketing bogus cures for COVID-19, illegally overstating their effectiveness. Loveland Medical Clinic advertised IV therapies and ivermectin as treatments for the coronavirus. The Colorado Sun reports a cease and desist order by the Colorado Department of Law was ignored. According to Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser, falsely advertising alleged cures can cause direct harm to patients and delay them from seeking sufficient care they need. Some Colorado parents, angry with school boards over mask mandates and COVID protocols, are launching recall efforts. The Colorado Sun reports in Weld and Boulder counties, recall elections will cost counties around $650,000. School board members facing recalls say the money would be better spent on priorities like paying bus drivers and substitute teachers. San Miguel County commissioners decided Wednesday to extend an indoor mask mandate through Halloween. It applies to everyone age 2 and older, regardless of vaccination status. Telluride Daily Planet reports current metrics include strained hospital capacity and sample testing at the Telluride wastewater treatment plant that's higher than last fall. The Lone Cone Legacy Trust in Norwood is back this year with their Harvest Celebration Dinner. Kate Redmond speaks with Sheila Grother, board member and co-organizer.
The Lone Cone Legacy Trust was started in 2013 as a way to fund nonprofits in and around Norwood in perpetuity. The Fall Harvest Celebration Dinner is their sole fundraiser this year, and the Legacy Trust board is pulling out the stops. Sheila Grother talked with me about some of what attendees can expect for food, dancing, and the silent auction this Saturday in Norwood.
Get a number of donated items from the Telluride area and the Norwood area, and we have art pieces, photographs of the local area. We have a big basket of local harvested vegetables and a number of gift certificates. We have a band out of Telluride, the Gold Kings, and we will be dancing both inside and out.
The Legacy Trust has given away more than $25,000 in community grants since its inception in 2013. This past year, they received a generous donation, which they can re-grant to community members in need.
This year, we were so fortunate. We had a $5,000 donation from the Donna and Aaron Vandenberg Trust, and we were able to match that, so we had $10,000 this year that we were able to donate into the community. We will be announcing those grant choices at the dinner on Saturday night.
Tickets for the Harvest Celebration Dinner are available at lonecone.legacy.org or can be purchased at the door. Kids' meals and free childcare are available. It all starts this Saturday night at 5:30 at the Livery, 1555 Summit Street in Norwood. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
Paul Zanger has been a supervisory park ranger for Black Canyon of the Gunnison since the early 1990s when it was a national monument, not a national park. He will work his last day this weekend, and he joins me next. Thanks for speaking to KVNF, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Gavin. It's good to talk with you.
Before Black Canyon, you worked at Valley Forge, Mount Rushmore, Glen Canyon, and Death Valley, but you've stuck around here for 30 years. Retired Black Canyon Superintendent Bruce Noble told me that's not always the norm in the National Park Service. How has the Black Canyon evolved over the decades from your point of view, and why did you decide to make this your home base long term?
Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park was established in 1999. In the past 10 years, there's been quite a rise in visitation that has been rather dramatic, in fact. There's been a more than doubling of visitation from the time as we were coming out of the Great Recession up until we bumped up against the COVID situation, but more than doubling in that 10-year period. If that were the case at some of our very busy national parks, it would have been rather frightening, I think. The canyon is still the same. It's still as beautiful as ever. Circumstances have just allowed me to be here. We do know or have seen in the workforce in general that people tend to not move cross-country as we had been doing back in the 90s and in the O's. People are kind of more staying more regional in their outlook for employment as well as just in terms of moving. So I've been fortunate to have been here for a long time.
You were the first ranger at Black Canyon dedicated to education, and you're also the park's interpretive specialist. Former Superintendent Bruce Noble called you the ambassador. Talk about the importance of these roles and why you've enjoyed them.
Well, people come to our national parks and Black Canyon in particular, and there's this big wow. You know, there's a lot of wow out there at Black Canyon. And what a lot of the work that we do is finding both the very obvious geologic stories and natural history stories for people in order for them to kind of find meanings and significant aspects and values for themselves in the place. But we also look for hidden stories, some of the stories that are not as evident, and stories and resources or places within the national park that provide a bit more of a diverse experience as well.
Astronomy and dark skies programs have grown since you've been here. Why are Black Canyon Astronomical Society events so popular?
The gateways into science are through dinosaurs and through the night sky. Because there is an element of wonder, of discovery, and just implausibility that's there. Working with the Black Canyon Astronomical Society has been beautiful, I think, over the decades. I was going through a recent file, and the first programs that we were partnering with the wonderful folks at the Society go back to 1996. So this has been a really long-term kind of effort, and it's been a beautiful time bringing about and protecting the night sky here with our partners in the nearby valleys. The North Fork and the Uncompahgre Valleys are really, really beautiful. And I think that the park here will have many more conversations and much more to look forward to in partnering with other groups in those valleys.
My guest is retiring Black Canyon Park Ranger Paul Zanger. You've been featured in documentaries, and you've also published columns in the Montrose Press for over 20 years, covering a wide range of subjects. Will you keep writing? Is there a chance of a book in the near future?
Well, I enjoy writing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing that, maybe branching out. It's been quite a number of years since I was picked up by the Writers on the Range syndicate, originally associated with High Country News out of Paonia. And I have a couple of pieces in the works, perhaps with them, and a book, maybe. It depends on topic. It depends on, you know, finding publishers and that sort of thing. But yes, I'd be very interested in doing that if the opportunity comes up.
That's Black Canyon Park Ranger Paul Zanger wrapping up 40 years working for the National Park Service tomorrow. Thank you for your service to our country, and thanks for speaking to KVNF, Paul.
Thank you, Gavin. It's been a pleasure. Take care.
That does it for Friday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Support us during the pledge drive at kvnf.org or by calling 866-KVNF now. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.